That's good. And I'm glad you're all here. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's speak to our God. Dear God, thank you. Thank you for this great day. Thank you for being our Father, being our God, being mindful of us. And God, we come to you as we are, with our imperfections, with our troubles, with our joys. And we know that you love us and you care for us and you want us to be your people. God, as we worship you today, we want to lift our hearts to you. And we know that if we give them to you, that you will be pleased. God, I pray that you be with Ray today as he brings us a message from your word and from his heart. And be with Joe as he does the same. And I just pray that as we leave here, we will realize that you have called us out, that you have called us to be your people, that you have called us to be active in our Christian lives, that you have called us to use our talents for you, that you have called us to be your people every day, not just today, not just the Lord. Fine. And this one doesn't need batteries. All right. Oh, you got stereo. All right, well, this is Ray Castillo from the great city of Santa Paula.
Oh, who was that? Who just whistled like that? Yeah, see, it was one of you guys. I know it was. Well, good morning. Yesterday, I think I was talking to Saul and during lunchtime, and somehow it came up about me being nervous, if I was nervous or not. And I tried to play it off, thinking, nah, I'm not nervous. You know, I'm cool. I've done this before. And then I was sitting here waiting to come up, and I was thinking, you know what? This is pretty nerve-wracking. I am pretty nervous right now. So before we get into it, if you guys wouldn't mind saying a little prayer with me. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you, God, and we're just very thankful to be here this morning. Father, I pray at this time that any words that I say, Father, that they are yours. Father, that Ray, the person, that you just use him, Father. Father, the words that are spoken are yours, that the message that is brought across is yours, Father. And God, I thank you and I praise you for this opportunity to be here this morning. And God, all glory and all praise goes to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen. It's kind of too close. Okay, so the message of this weekend is what? Being called out. Being called out, exactly. And what exactly are we being called out from? We're being called out from the world, right? The world that we lived in. The world that some of us still live in. The world outside. And when Jim asked me, it must have been a month ago or 2 months ago, to bring this message to you this morning, I started thinking, well, what can I say about being called out? And God works in such mysterious and amazing ways that within that time period of what I was thinking, what should I talk about? He brought these events in my life that forced me to think about what it means to be a young adult in this age and to be called out. I'm taking an anthropology class right now. How many of you guys have ever taken anthropology? No? It's such a fun class. I mean, every day I go into class and the teacher tells me, and this is seriously what he says in class. He says, you know, how can you guys believe in a creation? How can you guys believe in that? I'm not going to tell you all the little examples he gave me, because then you guys might start to doubt yourself like I did. But he brought upon all these things, and I started thinking, you know what? Yeah, maybe there is no God. Maybe how can all of these things he is telling me be true, and yet God also be true? And so that's just one example of the things that we are being called out from this world who is so lost and has their own wisdom, right? We're being called out from these things. But one thing that helped me to remember that I am being called out is remembering that God, the creator of this universe, every single thing in this world that is good, the universe, I mean, the galaxies and everything inside of it, he created all of that, and yet he still loves me. Amen to that?
Amen.
Thank you. Amen, amen, amen. Sporadic amens. Okay. And so one of the things that I struggled with is being lukewarm. Do you guys know what it means to be lukewarm? To kind of not be hot, not be cold, but stuck in the middle somewhere. You have one foot in the world and one foot in the church with God, right? You guys struggle with that, or is that just me? I think that's all of us. At one point in our lives, we struggle with that, being lukewarm. We want to be a part of this world. We want to fit in with the people. But yet, we also want God's love in our life. We also want God's presence in our lives. And so, I have some examples for you this morning of what it means to be lukewarm. And I was thinking this morning that I should have bought some tabs for my Bible, because all I have is these little pieces of paper to mark down the spots and where the verses are at. One way that we can be lukewarm is attending church, coming to church, coming to Bible classes, because it's expected of you. We come because it's Sunday morning. I mean, that's what you do Sunday mornings. You go to church. You get up early, you go to church, then you leave, then you go have lunch, right? That's Sunday mornings. And in Isaiah 29, verse 13, you guys don't have to turn there. I mean, if you're real fast at it, you can, but I'm going to be jumping around a lot. Chapter 29, verse 13. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Have you guys ever felt that way? That you come to church and you sing the songs, but your heart is not there with God. Your heart isn't there. And that's one of the things that I've struggled through recently. And I even brought it up last week when I went to the service. I lead singing. I don't know if you guys heard me sing, but it's not great. But no one else will do it, so I'll do it. So I lead singing. And I was going to the service that morning. And I was thinking, another beautiful Sunday morning where I can just sing some songs and sound terrible, and everyone will just sing along and drown me out. And I actually thought that in my head, and I was thinking, what kind of attitude is that, Ray? Where is your heart at? After everything God's done for you, where is your heart at? And it totally changed my mind. And when I got up there, I started singing as loud as I could. I was just belting out all those hymns and praise songs. And it didn't matter how it sounded, because I was singing to him. And so when we come Sunday mornings, there's that love. And we'll talk about that love in a little bit. Another way we can be lukewarm is giving money and giving of ourselves when we have some to spare. In Luke 21, verse 1 through 4, I know you guys have heard this story before, but just bear with me.
Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put all she had to live on." How many of you, when you have, say, $10 in ones, and the offering comes around, and you think, okay, well, I'm going to need $5 for some snacks after this. I'm going to need $1 for a drink. And then, all right, so I'll put in $3 right now. I'll put in $3. And you put in $3 and you keep $7 for yourself. I've done that before. But to read things like this, where to give everything you have of yourself and just rely entirely on God. And I've also done the opposite. When the tray is coming around and all I have is $20, and I'm thinking, man, how am I going to get to school if I give these $20 to God right now? But we'll see what happens. And I put the $20 in there, and next day comes around, and somehow, somewhere or another, I end up with $50 in my bank account. Either because someone said, "Hey, Ray, do you need help this week?" Well, yeah, I do, actually. Well, here's $50. Enjoy it. And so God comes up with things like that in our lives. The third way that we can be lukewarm is desiring to fit in both at church and outside of it, caring more about what people think than what God thinks of your heart and of your life. In Revelation 3:1, and I know this is kind of like the gloomy stuff, but we'll get on to happier stuff in a little bit. Revelation 3:1, the second part. "I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead." And this brings up an example from, I don't know how many of you have ever read the book Crazy Love? Some of you guys? Maybe you read like the first chapter or something. I read it. But the book Crazy Love, it gives us an example of potato chips. How many of you guys have ever bought potato chips? You guys all better raise your hands. I know you guys have. Bought potato chips, right? And sometimes you see like the healthy ones that say trans fat free or fat free. You see it on there, right? And then you look on the back in the ingredient list and it has hydrogenized oils, like 5 grams of salt per chip. And you realize that this isn't fat free. And sometimes we in our lives, we give that example. We live that same way where we say, yeah, I'm healthy. You know, yeah, I have a relationship with God. Yeah, he's in my life. And the appearances say that, but inside we've lost that connection with him. We're moved by people's acts and stories of faith, and yet we don't act. We hear stories of people, missionaries who, or martyrs who gave their lives in foreign places, and we think, wow, that's amazing. Look what God can do. And yet when we're talking with our friends, and they say something, and you know that you can give maybe some words of comfort, that maybe you can help to influence their thoughts a little bit more towards God, and we don't say anything. We're moved by other people's acts, but we don't act. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 22. "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." In chapter 4, verse 17. "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." How many of you guys have ever heard those awesome, amazing stories of someone who gave up their life or someone who gave up everything and moved to do God's work? How many of you have ever cried when you heard those stories? I haven't, but I know some of you guys have. So it moves us, right? Stories like that, God's Spirit moves us in that way. And yet, what does it say in verse 17? Right? That's what I said? I lost my spot. It says, we hear it and we do not do it. Being lukewarm. You want to fit in the world. You want to be a part of that world, but you also want to be a part of God's world. We say we love Jesus and that He is a part of our lives. But that's the thing. He's only a part. Yeah, I love God. He's a part of my life. That's just it. He's only a part. Matthew 22:37-38. And in a way, this is kind of practice for you guys to know where your Bible's at and to know where the verses are and everything like that. So this is good for you guys. Matthew 22:37-38. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so here's where we get into God's love for us. No, our love for God comes from Him. The reason we love God is because He loved us first. And sometimes we get into that habit of we follow God out of obedience. We follow God out of guilt. Because we don't really love God, we just don't want to face the punishment that He has for us. We come to church, we come to the Bible studies, we might open this thing up and be, let not your heart faint. Oh wow, that was good. I like that. And we walk away. But we don't do it because we love God. We do it because, you know, I better read my Bible today or, you know, I'm going to be in trouble tomorrow. We do these things out of guilt, not out of true love. I read an example somewhere, and I forget where it was, but of how our love for God should be like a little child. And how, and I don't have a child, so don't worry about that. But I've seen a dad or a mom. We'll go with dad. I've seen a dad and I've seen his child come through the door when he comes home, and the kid goes running up to his dad. Daddy, and he holds his dad, right? I've seen that before, and it's touched me to see that. And I don't know of a parent who the day before they go to work, they get their little kid and say, okay, now when I get home tomorrow, you're going to run and you're going to give me a hug. Have you guys ever seen that before? And the kid goes, all right, yeah, tomorrow I'm going to give you a hug. It doesn't happen that way, right? And so our love for God should be in that same way as that child, where we yearn for Him. We wait for Him. We go running to Him. We're not waiting for Him to say, for Him to come and say, now do this, now do this. That's not who God is. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. I know we read this verse a couple times already this week, but I think there's a little more we can get from it, if I can find it. First Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Have we all read that before? Recently, I went to a young men's retreat at the church we had. At the church we had. In Santa Paula, we had a young men's retreat. We had about 6 or 7 young men go out to Tehachapi and to Sequoia National Park and to the Kern River. And we visited those spots and we had little devotionals there. It's interesting that for all the times that I've read these verses, the next two somehow escaped me. Verses 15. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. It's interesting that all the times that I've read these few verses, I somehow skipped over these two. To practice these things. Immerse yourself. What does it mean to immerse yourself? To fully surround yourself by it. To fully give into this. Immerse yourself in it. So that all may see your progress. So being called out. Right? That's what this weekend's theme is about. Being called out. Being called out from the world and into what? Into Jesus Christ, into God. Being called out from this world that bluntly and straightforwardly says there is no God. In a classroom, they will say there is no God. Being called out from. And that's another thing, another recent example. Recently, I've had two friends, not in the church, two friends turn 21. And I don't know how many of you guys know this, but in the world, when you turn 21, the first thing you do that night is what? You what?
Get smashed.
You get smashed. That's right. That's the first thing you do when you turn 21 in this world. And my friends, as would have it, that's what happened. They went and they got drunk that night. Now, nothing bad came after that, right? I mean, they just went home and passed out, I guess. But That's the attitude that the world has. It's just the first chance you get where you can do something, they'll take it. They'll take that chance. The world will take that chance. And we've been called out from that. We've been called to push that aside, to put that those thoughts and those ways, to put them aside, and to step into God's world, to step close to Him and see what He has in store for us. We brought this up yesterday in the young men's class, and I remember Jim talking about it. He's talking about, where do you see yourself in 10 years? What are you doing to get to that point in 10 years? And I remember being at my house and my dad saying, you know what, Ray? Where do you see yourself in 10 years? What do you want to strive for? And I was thinking, man, just leave me alone. I don't know yet, okay? I'm trying. I'm going to figure it out someday, but right now I just don't know. And then a week later, he'd say, you know, Ray, where do you see yourself going? I just told you I don't know. I don't know where I don't know what I want to be yet. But he put something in me. He ingrained something in me that at the time I didn't notice. I didn't see it was good for me. It's to strive for something. To push towards something good in this life. And that's why in Timothy, that's the words that stuck out to me the most. Yeah, you know, be an example when you be an example, all of you here. Be an example in your life, in speech, in your faith. Be an example in those things. But continue to grow. Continue to push forward. Don't be content with just coming to church and taking up a spot. And again, this is another reference to my dad. Don't be a bench warmer. Don't be a pew warmer, guys. Push towards something. Progress in God. And the way that you do that is you fall in love with God. You love God with all of your heart. And every thought that you have, your actions, if you love God, if you are in love with Him, it will push you in that direction. It will push you in that direction. How many have ever been in love? Don't raise your hands. But how many have ever been in love or are currently in love? And you know that feeling? You raise your hand. I just said don't do it. And you know that feeling of when they say, of when that person asks you, hey, let's go hang out or let's spend some time together. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're going to say, okay. And you're going to go spend time with that person. You're going to drop whatever you're doing to go spend time with that person. You're going to share and give of yourself with that person. And it's the same thing with God, even more so with God. To get close to God, you have to spend time with Him. Time in prayer, time in the Bible, time here in church with other people who will encourage and support you. We need to spend time with Him. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I thought this was so great because I wanted to use this some way in my lesson. And then yesterday, the opportunity came up. So Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. How powerful is that? All of us here, in our daily walk with God, when sometimes we think, man, this isn't worth it. When sometimes we let the world tell you, there is no God. Yeah, maybe they're right. Maybe there is no God. And those doubts start to come in your mind. When that happens to me, and I read this verses, it says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, because I am surrounded by you guys here, because I know that you are all, you know, maybe you don't live in Santa Paula in my room like, yeah, go Ray. Maybe you're not there, but you're in Simi Valley. You're in here in Ventura. You're in Oxnard. You're in Tehachapi. You're in Porterville. And I know that you guys are cheering for me. I know you guys are pushing for me. And so yesterday, when Derek got baptized, is Derek here? Can you come here, please? I thought, what a perfect way. No, hold the clapping. It'll come. But hold it. What a perfect opportunity for this. How you doing, man?
Good.
Remember I told you I had a surprise for you yesterday? This is your surprise. What a perfect opportunity for this to be used. And thank God, you know, thank God that He provided this. What I want right now is for everyone to stand up. And kind of face inward if you can, you know, angle yourself facing inward a little bit. And I want Derek to walk down, and I want you guys to clap and cheer for him. Derek, if you would. Don't have to walk out. Come back in. Yes, take a seat. And so Derek has started to fall in love with God. He's going to push forward. He's going to grow, and he's going to show progress in his life. And that's what I want for all of us, to step out of that lukewarm, to step out of the world. Stop coming to church because you're expected to. Stop giving to God only what you have to spare. Stop putting God as only this little quarter in your heart, only this little part of your life, and let Him take over. Because God wants all of you. He wants everything that you are. He wants everything that you are. And another little quote that I read in that book, Crazy Love, was, the point of our lives is to point to Him. The point of our lives is to point to Him. And so that's what I encourage you guys to do. To make your life point to Him. Show progress to Him. Fall in love with God. Run to Him. Let God's love consume you, because He has such amazing, wonderful things for you. He has such amazing strength that you can lean on. He has such amazing grace that will clean you. He has such amazing love that will never let you go. That's all I have for you this morning.
Well, that was great, Derek. I felt like I was watching the 19, whatever it was, Dodgers, when Kirk Gibson hit that walk-off home run to beat the Athletics in the World Series. And I'm going, I felt like you were Kirk Gibson there running around the bases, man. Did you feel it? Did you feel it, Derek? Did you feel like I hit the game-winning home run? That's good. And I also wanted to talk a bit, too, about, make a comment about Ray's thing about singing. One of my great childhood memories was my dad, he was a preacher, and part of our vacation was he would stop along the way and he'd preach, and that way he'd make money so we could afford that vacation. Anyways, one of the places we stopped was in Indiana. I don't even remember the name of the thing because it was all farms. And it was in one of those little churches, and you've probably seen pictures, you've never been there, but it was a little church, and right next to it was a cemetery. You ever been to one of those? or there's a church and there's a cemetery. Anyways, this was an old church. It was just one room, had a wooden floor, had the little fans, you know, like this in the ceiling that go around and around. And there was this little farmer. I don't remember his name, but he looked like one of the guys from Green Acres. And man, I know what Green Acres was. Anyways, they had a talking pig named Arnold. But anyways, he would stand up there in front, he would lead singing, and he would sing at the top of his voice. And he was giving it all. And everything was off key. It was crazy. You know, wooden floor, I mean, there's nothing to absorb sound, and there's all this singing bouncing around the room, and it's off key, and it's going, wow, because I was into music, you know, and it was like, but they were, I mean, it was real. I remember that so clearly. It wasn't anything lukewarm about it. And you know, the other thing I want to comment too, and I think it's a great point, is if you play sports, you've had the coach say, this is the one game, but we want to leave it all on the field. You ever heard that? Leave it all on the field today. And I think that's what Ray was telling us, you know. Get in there and live your life and leave it all on the field. Don't hold anything back. You know, God wants it. He wants it. He wants us, whatever it is, to leave it on the field. All right, we're going to take a short break for services. A couple things, though. If you've lost a pair of earrings, used to be when I was a kid, we just direct this at the ladies, but I know now. You know, even though it used to be 10 years ago, it was just one earring, and this is a pair, and I know sometimes guys wear a pair now. So if you've lost a pair of earrings, we found them. We just kind of sitting there. We also have a pair of sunglasses. I tried them on, they're pretty scratched, but if you've lost sunglasses, we have those. And this is another, we're missing a Dallas Cowboy sweatshirt. So if anybody picked it up, we need it back. We won't turn you in. Oh, they're just sunglasses. Yeah. No, we're... They're what?
Prescription.
Oh, prescription? I have one. We have a pair of glasses, too. And there's also a selection of shoes, like beach shoes and stuff. So if you're missing those and you're not too ashamed to claim them, we have them. So anyway, we'll take a short break. Some of the young men, we need some help with serving this morning in services, so you can meet down front. Remember, don't leave anything on the